So we see the progress now, getting back to the chronology. The church is gone, and what's left behind? A world in turmoil. And they're looking for a man. As a matter of fact, one of the European councils said in the 60s, give us a man. If he be God or devil, if he can solve our economic problems, he's our man. If he can solve our political problems, he's our man. If he can solve our religious problems, he's our man. And in the world today, the religious world is taken up with seeking for resolutions and solutions. Rome has in its tentacles all across the world made concessions, not only with earthly Jewish religion, but they've crossed over into association with Buddhism and Hinduism. It's not true Christianity. And there will be a worldwide religious system. The book of Revelation tells us, chapter 17 and 18. And a worldwide political system. And who will be the head of it? Antichrist. And if you go to 27 of our chapter 20 of Daniel chapter 9, it says he, well, we'll look at 26. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, death of Christ, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come. And in our King James Version, you'll see that they were wise enough to make a distinction between the prince that shall come, small p, and in 25, Messiah the prince, capital P. So they made that distinction. Now, they didn't understand prophecy in 1611, but they at least understood the distinctions between the man of sin and the true Christ of God. And the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, turn to Isaiah chapter 28. In Isaiah chapter 28, we see the kind of covenant that this man, the man of sin, the Antichrist, chapter 28, verse 15. Verse 14 for connection. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. Literally, Mr. Newberry has in his margin, a covenant with hell. And with hell, or Hades, are we in agreement. And then let's skip over to verse 18. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. And it has been suggested that Israel will ally herself with the Antichrist and will accept him. Please bear with me. Go to, I think, John chapter 5 for connection, where earthly Israel will receive not the Christ of God. You know, chapter 1, verse 11, he came to his own things, his own people, and they received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. But in chapter 5 of John's Gospel, let's see. I am come in my Father's name. Maybe someone will find it before I get to it. The Lord Jesus saying, I am come in my Father's name. 43, verse 41. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name. This is his first coming, beloved. And ye receive me not. If another of a different character, if another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. So this, I believe, is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus himself concerning the Antichrist, the man of sin, they will receive him, but to their utter judgment. And
there's a question I have is, we know that there will be a remnant during this awful time. My question is, suppose the Lord comes now, where are these people who will form that remnant? I'm not sure if we can answer that, but it's something that's puzzled me for a while. Can anyone help me?
That is, that these are the Hasidic Jews. How true it may be, can be seen.
So they have not heard the gospel of the grace of God.
They will not go back, I understand, to Israel. They're staying right here. Hasidic Jews. Now, how true it is, I don't know. I've been told.
We've talked about the Jewish remnant.
During the tribulation time, there will be believers who will endure that time and ultimately go into the kingdom. My question is, you know, it puzzles me. I'm just
some of them are the 144,000.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, but the 144, let me say this. When the Lord comes, every single believer is gone.
Right.
But God always acts. There'll be the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. People will get hold of the Bible. I believe that way, especially remnant from Israel. And then they will start believing that Christ is the true anointed Messiah. Is the true Messiah. The remnant starts from amongst the people of Israel. And out of them, because of their belief, they are scattered everywhere. And this is why Matthew chapter 24 comes up, that those you have given them a glass of water in my name, you know, you have done it as if to me. There'll be nations, as this remnant is spread out, there'll be nations or people from amongst the nations will also accept Christ based on the testimony of that remnant, receiving them, protecting them, feeding them, whatever it is. And this is how I believe that the remnant is established, by taking hold of the scripture, believing, and then spreading the gospel of the kingdom. And that's just...
Well, but they would not have heard the gospel of the grace of God.
But where were you when you got saved? The same question. Where I was. Yeah. The Lord knows those who are His. Mm-hmm. So reality is this. It's not really for me to say, well, okay, they are in Brooklyn in the Hasidic community, or they are in Israel in some kind of a... in Russia, I don't know. The Lord knows those who are raised. Did anybody in the year 50 AD thought that in the year whatever, somebody from this country will get saved because he heard the gospel? Nobody ever thought of... But this is God's dealing with people. He will have His people. Mm-hmm. Wherever they are, He will have them. And just remember that the Spirit of God will start working in these souls. Mm-hmm. They will start looking at these scripture. Now the veil is on their faces, as we read in Romans 9 or 10. There is veil on their face. They cannot see. They read Isaiah 53. They read Psalm 22 in the synagogue. They stand by the wailing wall and they hit their heads in there. And they don't see anything. That veil will be taken away from them. And they're going to start seeing what the scripture have spoke about, that same person that they crucified and rejected is their Messiah. He is not only Messiah, son of David, but he is the Messiah, son of Joseph, who was rejected, accepted among the Gentiles. They will see all of these things, and they will turn around and start going to people and said, the king is coming. Because in verse 14 of that chapter 24, they're reaching the gospel of the kingdom. What they are saying, what John the Baptist have said. Mm-hmm. The same mission. Mm-hmm. The king's coming. Prepare your way. Repent, the king's coming. They will be doing the same thing. And then they would look in verse 15 and they see the desolation, the abomination in the holy place. Now, in chapter 24, don't let anybody deceive you and say this is a church. I think we have heard it. I want to prove it to you. He said there about... in verse 15, he's speaking to a Jewish people, a Jewish mind. That is a desolation in the temple. So he's speaking to a Jewish people. In verse 16, he's saying, let those in Judea run away. He's not saying those who are in North America. He's talking especially to a Jewish people, those who are in Judea. He's speaking about verse 20, that pray that you would not be fleeing in a Sabbath day. That has nothing to do with Christianity at all. So it is, he's talking to a Jewish remnant that the Spirit of God worked in their heart and in their soul through the Word of God. They are awakened and they realize, we know what happened. That's the rapture that the Scripture spoke about. These are the Christians. They're gone from the scene. Now, all of these prophecies will come to pass and they start praying, crying to him, spreading the gospel, repent that the kingdom is coming.